The nuclear family must be destroyed. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. That's a feminist named Linda Gordon. How about this? Since marriage constitutes slavery for women, it is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on attacking this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. It was Sheila Cronin, leader of the feminist organization Now. That is the rugged and ragged agenda. That is the evil agenda that I pointed to when we talked about wives in the sermon. If women, please, if you're afraid of what that verse says, if you're afraid of submission, please go listen to the sermon on those verses. And men, go listen to the sermon. Every husband and wife in Grace Church and you who are visiting, I please do that. If you're married or if you're going to be married or if you have been married, God will use you to teach others. Go and listen to those two sermons so that you can rightly understand Christian marriage and submission, Christian headship, Christian family. But you can see the culture is at war with biblical marriage. The culture is at war with masculinity. The culture is at war to produce, I should say, masculine males. Some segments of feminism seem to promote a masculine woman and a feminine man, or at least equaling out the two, seeing a blur. Of course, flowing out of evolutionary commitment and things like that, that can be the conclusion. Doesn't have to be. But the culture is at war with marriage. But what I want you to see is that marriage is not cultural. Marriage is a great gift of God. Marriage between a man and a woman, that's the only thing that is real marriage, by the way. I have to say that because God says that. Marriage between a man and a woman was designed in all eternity before there was ever a creation to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. So we're dealing with not cultural convenience or shaping, but eternal wisdom. God created mankind male and female. And He set our roles within that distinction. And our joy is found in lining up with our Creator, not in fighting against His creation. God planned and designed marriage from all eternity for human thriving, for joy, for His glory. Yes, for the good of His people. Yes. It's not man-made. It is a great gift that has been abused. Men have done it poorly in dominating women. Women have reacted to some bad example and bad practice in marriage. You know, women have done it poorly since the garden. No man gonna tell me what to do. Well, I hope you let Jesus tell you what to do. And you see what I'm saying? We because it's been done poorly, we want some, especially sinful responses, to get rid of it. But how about we do it right and glorify God in it? Because it's a great gift where man and woman join together in marriage, become one, one flesh. And it has a great purpose, the glorifying God, by picturing the incredible intimacy and the relationship between Christ and the church. Genesis 1. Before the fall, God created them male and female. He joined them together, Genesis 2. Fill the earth and multiply. Subdue it That garden should have gone around the world, but men sinned, men and women, mankind sinned against God and rebelled against His design. But I want to pull you this morning back to His design. And uncharacteristically, we're not going to leave from this text. We're going to stay right here. We're going to focus in. We're going to talk about it. I'll show you one other reference at the end when we're finishing up. But I want you to embrace the priority, the mystery, and the commitment of marriage. So we're continuing our sort of mini-series on the family, and then we'll do workplace, spiritual warfare, and we'll be done. Yes, kids, I'm going to preach a message about children next week, or maybe the following week. I'm thinking about doing a message on the state of the culture and nation and right before the election next week. If you've early voted, you might miss the impact of that, but and then talk to the children. But we're still on husband and wife. We want to bring it, root it back into God, into eternity, into His plan, and therefore live in the joy that He's created for us. So today, again, the priority, the mystery, and the commitment of marriage. Look back in I almost said Ezekiel. I guess that's the eschatology class we're doing on Sunday mornings. look back in Ephesians verse 31. This is the priority of marriage. And this is quoting Genesis chapter 2. But look what it says here. Flowing out of the rich sacrificial love of Christ for His church and applying that to the husband and the wife and the institution of marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Leave parents, cleave to spouse, one flesh union. When it says here, and when Genesis says, and when this talks about leaving your father and mother, up until this point, that has been the most important relationship that you have. Yes, children, the most important relationship you have is with your parents. The people you should be listening to is not your friends and not your own mind, but your parents. That is the most important relationship you have on this planet until you enter into marriage. And then that changes. That changes at that point. And we parents struggle with that sometimes. And we children struggle with that sometimes. We have a hard time not making a break. It's not like we write them off. But that relationship becomes transformed so that the child-parent relationship is no longer the most important relationship. It's not unimportant. But now for you, if you're married, it's no longer the most important. Parents, that's tough, isn't it? And some cultures struggle with this more than others. Marriage counseling can be a nightmare if the parents haven't gotten this and are creating havoc in their children's marriage and still trying to rule them like they live under their house, or giving gifts that have strings on them, so that they can bring that up later. Well, didn't I do? You should do that. Parents, we have to get the fact that we are no longer the most important people in our children's life once they get married. Mothers, that is hard, isn't it? I'm not saying it's not hard for the dads. It's really hard for our moms. And in some cultures, that bond is, I mean, it's almost unbreakable. And not that we want to break it, but it needs to be set in light of the Word and see the importance and see what is happening in marriage. Parents can ruin marriages of their children. Parents can just be continually meddlesome and involved and manipulative and thinking less than of the son's spouse or the daughter's spouse and talking them down and... You know, I mean, they're not perfect. If
the spouse is in danger, we have a place to go with that, with the authorities. But we have to be careful that we grasp this. When your daughter, dads, when your precious little daughter goes and grows up and you can't believe it and she gets married, you're no longer the most important man in her life. Mom, when your precious son grows up and goes off and get married, you've got to be okay with the fact that you're no longer the most important person in their life. You're not unimportant. You're greatly important. You're to be honored by them. But don't you dare bring that verse up when they're not doing what you want them to do and say, well, you need to honor me. Don't you try to rule their house with that verse. But they are to love you and honor you. But you say you're supposed to be talking to husbands and wives. I know, but I talk to husbands and wives and their parents create chaos because they don't get this. If I marry you, I'm going to sit down with you and talk premarital counseling, but I'm going to do it with your parents too if you don't want that. We have to get this straight. Leave. Look at that. Look at it again in verse 31. A man shall leave, woman too, leave father and mother, and hold fast to the wife. You ever heard leave and cleave? And when you get married and things are hard and you're struggling and you're learning to live with another sinner, I mean, don't keep yourself in danger. If there's abuse, that's a different thing. But things are just hard. I mean, they don't put the toilet paper so it rolls over the top. And, you know, they don't squeeze the toothpaste at the bottom. They squeeze it in the middle. And, you know, they don't... Guys, we don't pick up our socks and our underwear. And that can be flipped. I'm not saying that. Don't run home to mama. Don't run home to daddy and complain about your spouse. Now, you can go to God. Lord, please cause this man to pick up his underwear. And know that I'm not his bellhop. But we leave in that parent relationship is no longer the most important one, and we cleave. This can be like glue, sticking. Stick. Now this is the most important relationship. We're to cleave and cling to our spouse. We're not to expect them to be perfect or to make our mission in life to change them. Yeah, well, I know he's not perfect now, but you just wait till we're married. We don't say that out loud, but we think that, right? We begin our mission of changing the other one after the vows are recited. No, we cling to them. We cleave to them. Guys, run into this relationship like Jesus ran into the relationship with you. He ran at your flaws to cleanse them and cover them, not to point them out and pick at you about them. Ladies, same thing. We're running in with grace and the gospel, forgiveness, love. We keep focused on the things we love and like about the person, and we don't let the marriage ceremony flip that so that we now become critical. But husband and wife leave that relationship of parents. In other words, it's not the most important anymore. And they cling to their spouse. They stick to their spouse. They're faithfully devoted to, stick with, through all. They're covenantally faithful to their spouse. So be careful when you get married that you don't run home every time there's trouble. Every time you have a struggle. Because you're young people who are thinking about getting married, there's going to be trouble. One book, When Sinners Say I Do. Go read that. You need that. Before you get married. Right? And in parents, don't try to be the warrior on behalf of your child against their spouse and all of that. See it. Parents, please see. Once they're married, that's the most important relationship for them. People, younger folks, or maybe not younger, but when you get married, fight to see that as your most important relationship now. Moms, after you have kids, guess what? Husband and wife is still the most important relationship. I heard some grunts and groans. I didn't hear it first, amen. But it's hard, right? But you better keep this in your mind. You're not one flesh with your children. I know you bore them. I know they're of your genetics and of your... But this is not the one flesh relationship like marriage is. But husband and wife become one like Christ in the church. It's a picture of Christ's intimacy and union with His church. Y'all are going to differ on some stuff. One of them might be discipline. I could run to my mom to keep my dad from getting on my behind. Let me let you in on a secret. You see these little people sitting in here? They are much smarter than you think they are. And if you think they won't play you against one another, you got another thing coming. And they learned that at a very young age. Kids, that's not good. But they learned it at a very young age. If I wanted something, and I really wanted it, I would go to my mom first. And then I'd go to my dad and say, she said I could have it. And then he'd lose his mind. But I'd eventually get it. The husband, your wife is your one flesh relationship. Wife, your husband is your one flesh relationship. This is the most important relationship you will ever have on the planet, no matter how many children you have or how cute they are. And then you're going to have to let them go at some point so that they can have... Lord willing, not all of us get married. Some of us have the gift of singleness. Some of us have lost spouses, and I get that, and I understand that's hard. Okay? I don't miss that in talking about this. Some of you have lost a spouse or have gone through divorce. It's not the unpardonable sin. Okay? It's not the sign, but it's not the unpardonable sin. Some of you think you will never get married again, and you know what? You will. But when you do, that's the most important relationship on the planet. Be faithfully devoted to one another. Stick with one another through it all. Be covenantly faithful. Do it when it's easy. Do it when it's hard. Till death do you part. Like Jesus, who never gives up on His people. Who covers and cleanses their flaws and works to see them built up and grown. He never gives up. One flesh. Most important relationship. Wives, husbands, that's the most important. Look at it again. Verse 31. A man leaves his father and mother, holds fast to his wife, and the two are one flesh. No other relationship is spoken of as one flesh. Well, look at the mystery. It better be rooted in the mystery. This devotion to this believing God's word instead of culture, that this is my one flesh relationship, this is the most important relationship, better be rooted behind that into the mystery, which is Christ in the church. Look at verse 32. This mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, mystery, a lot of times when we think mystery, we misunderstand the word. But biblically here, mysterion, this word is talking about something that you wouldn't know if God didn't reveal it. It had to be revealed for you to know it. It's not like a whodunit, figure it out, walk the trail, you know? Pick up the clues. Now, this is something that had to be revealed. We wouldn't know that marriage was a picture, or is to be a picture, and it is a picture of the intimacy between Christ and the church, if God hadn't told us. We wouldn't know that this is how He's designed marriage, to be a gospel picture of the relationship, the most intimate relationship ever on the planet. Look at me again. Now, I said the most important human relationship about man and woman. The most important relationship on the planet, the deepest and most intimate relationship on the planet, is between you and your Savior. United to Christ by faith. One with Him. Him committed to you. When I marry people, when I go through the ceremony, I ask husband, I ask wife, if they commit to loving God above their spouse. Loving Jesus above their spouse. And their spouse above all others. Because that relationship is rooted in the love and grace and mercy and kindness and salvation that we have in Jesus. That Jesus came to save His people who were His enemies and mired in filth of sin. That He ran into that misery, fulfilled all righteousness in the darkness of this world, took the penalty of our sin, the soul that sins shall die, took the penalty of our sin upon Himself, hung on that cross. And because He's God and man, drank the cup of God's wrath dry for all of His people, that we might trust Him and receive salvation as a free gift. And you know, the cool thing is, that trust, even He works that in us to rescue us. He brings the gospel into our life and life through the gospel, so that by the Spirit's power, we turn from sin and trust in Jesus. And then repentance is a fruit of faith and flows out of that, so that we're actually, our lives being changed and made more and more like Jesus. Jesus came and lived and died that you might be saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn from trusting in anything else and place your trust by God's grace in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's it. Wash you clean from all of your sin. Come to live in your heart through His Spirit. Clothe you in His righteousness. You're now a child of God who is being transformed by His grace and for His glory into His image. It's all a work of grace. If you would be saved from your sin, you must trust in Jesus. There is no other Savior. I know that's not popular today either. But it's truth. I won't love you if I don't tell you the truth. Trust in Jesus. That is the most important relationship, union with Christ, justified on the basis of Christ, adopted, being changed. God will finish the work, take us all the way into His presence forever. But that is the most intimate relationship possible. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus never gives up on you. He never belittles you. He never mocks you. You see what I'm saying? He loves and serves and forgives in grace and mercy. Doesn't mean He never corrects us. Certainly He does, and we need that from each other. But Jesus came to save His people in grace, and the mystery of that is that that is what marriage pictures, and it was designed to do that before the foundation of the world. Your marriage is far more important than you know. It's not just about you getting together and have an outlet for your affection and produce these wonderful little human beings who populate. That's important. But it's higher than that. Your marriage is to be a gospel proclamation. Grace, mercy, the center of your home. Picturing the intimate, loving relationship of Christ and His church. It was a mystery that had to be revealed, and it refers to Christ and His church. The marriage relationship, listen to me, and go back and listen to these messages if you haven't heard them. Don't assume you know what I was going to say. Headship and submission in the context of the family was planned before the foundation of the world to picture the relationship between Christ and His church. Now and the headship that is true headship in the family is servant leadership like Jesus. The submission that is true submission is the home is willing, joyful submission like it is to Christ. Not because you believe they have it all figured out or trust them. They're not perfect. But you're leading under Christ as an under shepherd. You're submitting to Christ as you submit and according to God's Word. See, the eternal purpose of you two being together is to illustrate that relationship. Union with Christ. United to one another. You are one with your Savior if you're trusting in Him. Seated with Him in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus or in Him all through the New Testament. Union with Christ. And then you are one with your spouse underneath that, picturing that as you walk through this planet. Most important and intimate relationship, your relationship with Jesus. Under that, human relationship, your relationship with your spouse. Which, if it's done right, will cause you to love your neighbor, love your family, love the lost, love your brothers and sisters like Jesus loved the church. You will love your parents, yes. But
That's not the most important relationship, and they should, you both should understand that. Now look at the commitment. Look at the commitment, lastly, in verse 33. And it says, however, here, it could also mean to sum up, and that's the way the Holman Christian Bible takes it, kind of summing up this sort of section he's been in here, talking about wives and husbands and Christ and His love and how that all works together. He says, however, or to sum up, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And I brought this out before, but this is the commitment, and this is for husbands first. When we hear language like "let it happen," we think, "Well, it'll just." This is a command. This is not a "let it happen if it happens." That's just the way we do third person commands in English and coming out of the original language. But this is telling you, husbands, see to it. You do this. Love your wife as yourself. Which he's already said above is to love your wife as Christ loves you. And as he nourishes and cherishes you, if you better have that relationship straight and see the gospel and grace accurately. And as he loves and cherishes and forgives you and has sacrificed himself to serve you, then you do that for your wife. You're not the most important person in your own life, guys. Your mission here is not to serve you. Your mission here is not to make you comfortable. And as Paul Tripp says, there is a king and it's not you. It's Jesus. And under Jesus, you're to lovingly serve and lead your family the way Jesus lovingly serves and leads you. And you're to love your wife as yourself, which he's already defined as nourishing and cherishing. Nourishing physically, nourishing spiritually, emotionally, cherishing. I even used the word pamper when I talked about that last week. Husbands, learn to press into, pray into, dive into, ask for forgiveness for failure. Press into loving your wife the way Christ loves you, the way Christ loves the church. He doesn't abuse you. He doesn't boss you around. He doesn't use you as a bellhop or a plaything. You're here to love and serve your wife, to be eyes outward, to be focused on her flourishing in Christ and joy. If you see her here, which she is here to serve you, but if that's your predominant view, if you make it about yourself, you're going to fail here. And you're going to make your wife and yourself miserable in your home. Let your knees be ragged in prayer like Jesus. Let your dress be the dress of a servant like Jesus. Let your heart be focused on the flourishing of your wife. She's not, let me say one more thing. She's not here to make you happy. Now she does that in a lot of ways if she's being a good wife. But if you're focused there, is that how Jesus saw us and sees us? No, He sees us deeply in need and He runs into that need in humble servant saving. Don't be harsh with your wife with your language. There's no justification for that. And your action. I only say that, and I've said this before, don't bring the Marine Corps home with you. You might be on an upper level or a status or something. That's not how it works in your house. The greatest is the servant of all. And if you're loving your wife like Jesus loves you, it's going to be so much easier for her to submit to you. See, we take commands like that and turn them into pit boss commands. Do what I say. Jesus says so. Man, you better duck. Not from her. He's coming. He will humble you. If that's your attitude. Husbands, this is a command. Love your wife as yourself. See her needs as more important, Philippians 2. Go in that home with a servant's heart. If you've worked hard all day, you still have to go in. And it should be your joy to go in as a servant. You don't need a bubble. You don't need a paper. You don't need a video game. You don't need a... for a while. You first pour in. You can have that stuff later, and most of the time you can do that together. Okay? So husbands, learn to press into, grow in loving your wife as yourself. Why am I so passionate about this? Because we all fail. We all need grace and we all need growth. And it's so easy. Our default setting every morning we get up is to switch back to self. It's all about me. You're here for me. You're to serve me. And as long as you do that, everything will be fine. When you stop it, that's not Jesus' attitude. And that's not to be your attitude. Either one of you. But especially the husbands. As you lead, you are to lead like Jesus and in the path of Jesus and according to the word of Jesus. And your home, if you're leading like Jesus, will be a gospel home where there's grace and mercy and forgiveness and self-sacrifice on your behalf. But go back and listen to the husband sermon. I don't want to re-preach that. Now, look at secondly. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. The husbands are to be Christ-like lovers and leaders in the home. And the wife is to be a Christ-like lover and submitter in the home, a respecter in the home. You may not know this. You know what the word here is for respect? Fear. Phobeo. We use it. It comes over into English when we say we have phobias. It's the word used to talk about fearing God. But it doesn't mean a slavish fear, afraid of the lash, afraid of the whip. But this fear is a familial fear. It's a family fear. It's a reverential. Like we are, when we fear God, if we rightly understand that, certainly we have a healthy fear of His discipline. But it mainly has to do with our loving Him and delighting in Him and being awe of Him and joyfully living for Him. Right? So it should be a joyful, reverent respect that you give to your husband. Catch this, because Jesus deserves it. Because Jesus deserves it. He deserves it. Your knucklehead husband doesn't deserve it. I'm a knucklehead husband. I know. Right? He doesn't deserve in and of himself your reverence and respect. But Jesus does. Notice, remember, Jesus calls us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, who do good to those who do bad to us. He calls the wife to not keep herself in danger, not be abused, all of that. We've talked about that. Go listen to the wife's sermon. But to have her eyes focused on Jesus and therefore, through trusting Jesus, be able to give this guy room to grow in learning how to love and lead like Christ. Wives, you are to be respectful of your husband, reverent in God's sight, and hopefully they are growing and you see them pressing into leading like Jesus. But even Peter says, even if you live with an unbeliever, still live and glorify Jesus, gentle and quiet spirit, trusting God to work in his heart, maybe and to convert him. That's what Jesus commands us to do. Listen to me, if you are married, husband, don't focus primarily on changing your wife. Wife, don't focus primarily on changing your husband. Get your eyes on Jesus. Husbands, look at Jesus, look in His Word and say, what kind of husband do you want me to be? And plow in right there. Wives, eyes on Jesus, not waiting for them to change. What kind of wife do you want me to be? And plow in there. And as the two of you do this, it brings you together. It brings you together in harmony. So if we'll trust Jesus and love Jesus, and if our homes are ordered according to the Word of Jesus, they're going to be growing homes of peace. Flourishing relationship. Kids seeing two people love one another the way they're supposed to be loved. And growing up in an environment like that. And dads, because I speak to you first because you're leaders, when you fail and when you blow it, tell them, I'm sorry. Daddy blew it. Please forgive me. You're training them
to run to Jesus in their failure and to be open and honest. Moms, when you blow it, apologizing to the spouse, husband and wife, and apologizing to the kids. I'm sorry, mom or dad, or, you know, lost our temper or whatever we did. Confess that. That's not who Jesus is, and that's not how He'd have me act, but I gave in to that. I've gone to Him to ask forgiveness, and now I'm coming to you. That openness and transparency will go a long way to helping those kids raised healthy. It's one thing, dads, to be their hero. But be a gospel hero. Be strong and in their defense and, you know, godly in discipline and all that. But be strong in leading them, showing them how to fail successfully, which means go to Jesus first, throne of grace, go to those you've offended, confess it, make it right, not just sweep it over. You know, husbands, if you've been failing in your home, confess it to Christ, confess it to your wife. Wives, same things. You have kids, confess it to them. Don't fear the outcome. So, that, right there. I mean, it's easy. The priority of marriage, the mystery of marriage, and the commitment of marriage. Men and women committed to one another in Christ, seeking to be what Christ would have them to be. Don't ever, listen to me, listen to this too. Don't ever expect on this planet to end in a place where you have a perfect relationship. Because you're going to need the gospel to the day you die. And you won't live a day on this earth that you fulfill the law in thought, word, and deed. Don't expect your spouse to be perfect. Don't expect yourself to be perfect. But just, by God's grace, expect growth. And you be as gracious with one another as Jesus is. And devoted to one another as Jesus is. And about the gospel as much as Jesus is. And you'll see great things happen. Let me speak to the parents again. Support your children's marriages as the most important relationship on earth. And tell them that's true. Why are you running to me? Start saying that. Go home. I mean, I heard of a parent doing that. The girl came home complaining about her husband, and I think it was her mother said, go home. I don't hear that. Go home. I mean, she wasn't in danger. Just, you know, about her husband. Go home. Work it out. Marriage is hard. So what? Hard for all of us. Jesus is Lord. Go work it out in grace. Support your kids, that relationship is the most important. Friends, support your friends who are married. Don't be constantly trying to pull them out. Have friend time sometimes, but you know what? When you get married, things change. Guys, sometimes we have this thing in our head. We want to get married and we want all the benefits, but we don't want to change what we do. Is it okay for me to still go out and eat with my girls who are friends? No! It's not! I need guy time. Yeah, you do, every once in a while. But not all the time. And ladies, same thing. Just be careful. Nurture this relationship. And friends, help them. Siblings, help them. Twins, oh, help them. I don't think we have it. I don't know if we have it. Do we have twins here? But parents especially, and you, embrace it. Husband and wife, embrace the higher purpose of your marriage. It's about Jesus in the church. It's not about you, primarily. And it's not about you having this sappy music in the background, romantic thing going on all the time that you see in a lot of the books and movies. And certainly, guys, be wrong. Do that. But, I mean, we talked about that. Go listen to the other sermons. Embrace the higher purpose of your marriage. Embrace, now here's a rub. Husband, wife, embrace individual roles. You're not the same. You don't have the same roles. If you have a problem with that, go to God. He created you this way. He's put marriage together this way. And He's given us each roles for our flourishing and our joy in Christ. Yes, it challenges us. Yes, it humbles us. But if they tell me at the gym, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you.
Be challenged for Jesus. Embrace the roles. Husbands, be a Christ-like lover and leader in your home. Love your wife as yourself. Love your wife as Christ loves you and loves the church. Wives, Christ-like submission, respect, support. Your husbands need your support. Submit to in Christ. You don't put yourself in danger and you don't have to sin if He tells you to. Submit to your husband. If you want a healthy marriage, put Jesus first in life and marriage. Eyes on Him, in His Word. What is a husband and a wife? See the relationship as the most important and keep, please, the gospel in the forefront. We get married and we lose the gospel and we start holding grudges and we start sniping at one another and picking at the least little things. And we destroy our own relationship and we fail to honor Christ. Now, you may be sitting in this room and you may be divorced and it be absolutely no fault of your own. I'm not talking to you primarily today. I understand that. It's not the unforgivable sin. Just learn from the mistakes on wherever you see them and maybe you'll be married again someday. But you're already one with Christ. So just plow into that relationship. But keep the gospel in the forefront in our homes. Go over the gospel together. Christ Church. Have grace and mercy. Be at the hub of your house with one another. Forgive. You have a gospel obligation to forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive. Work hard to embrace love. Cherish devotion of yourself in your marriage to your spouse. It's the priority relationship. It's the picture of Christ in the church. And it is worthy. He is worthy of your self-sacrifice and devotion. I want to end with the words of Jesus and then I'm going to pray. But in Matthew 19, 4-6, coming straight from your Savior, His enemies, they were wanting to be fast and loose with divorce. Not that there's never a reason, but you know, in that day they saw that they could just write a certificate and write her off if they were displeased with their wives. But in Matthew 19, 4-6, Jesus says this. Have you not read that He who created... See where He roots marriage? Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Intimate. The most intimate human relationship, picturing the most intimate relationship with Christ. Now look at what he says. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us as husbands to get our eyes off of ourselves and on to Jesus and to be at work till the day we die to be like Jesus in every way, yes, but especially in our homes as we are husbands who are to be servant leaders who are gentle, kind, compassionate, merciful, God-honoring and God-focused and God-glorifying. Help us to do that. Help us to serve our wives and our children like Jesus has and does serve us. And Lord, help our wives to have our eyes fixed on Jesus and the same thing. Be focused on loving this undeserving husband the way Christ loves them and showing their children a beautiful relationship, husband and wife, devoted to Christ first, and in Christ devoted to one another, and joyfully embracing the roles and the directions that Christ has given. Far from marriage being destroyed, marriage should be fought for, protected, preserved, honored, And we do that primarily as husbands and wives by believing You, Lord Jesus, by seeking to live for You and seeking to sacrifice for one another. I pray for all of our marriages to be better tomorrow than they were today. Grow us step by step to be more like our Savior, more in line with His truth, more gracious and merciful and long-suffering and forgiving and gentle and patient and peaceful, persevering and enduring with joy because of Your gospel. Help us to be able to joyfully go through suffering together, to joyfully grow old together, to joyfully keep our eyes fixed on our Savior. Bless and flourish our marriages, Lord, and in that context, bless our children that they might see parents who love Jesus first and one another above all other, and then them and on out. Save our children. Lord, help our parents to release in the appropriate way when their children are married, and to support that. And help our people who are married to make the right break and to see that new relationship as most important. Lord, there's so many ways that we need transformation, and there's so many ways that we need growth. So we are thankful that Christ died to pay the penalty for every one of our sins in this area and all other areas. That He was raised from the grave, proving our sins were dealt with, and that His righteousness is on our account as we, by Your grace, trust in Jesus. So help us to trust You, help us to love You, and help us to live for You in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our city, for Christ's sake. Help us, we pray. We trust You in Jesus' name. Amen.